You know, every day we make choices. You made a number of choices already today. And I would say some are easier than others, for sure. The choice you made this morning to wear clothes, that was a good choice. And honestly, really necessary, too. Otherwise, we'd all be walking around in our birthday suits, and we might be looking at each other a little different, huh? But hey, think about going to the grocery store. Depending on the store you go to, you've got a lot of choices to make. And every day, the choices seem to get bigger and bigger, and each of us is making, I would say, a judgment as to what looks good to us and what to buy or not to buy. And honestly, when it comes to this subject, the list kind of just goes on and on and on. Education choices, political choices, religious choices, moral choices, financial choices, how to spend our time choices. These are all things that are part of everyday life. And many times, if we aren't consciously making a decision, then I guess really we're choosing not to make a decision, which is a choice, not to make a decision, not to choose. So we just kind of case to rah to rah, you know, whatever happens, happens. But you remember back a few years ago, they had a company called Blockbuster Video. And of course, we get to choose what we want to watch on TV or our movies. But I remember when Blockbuster Video was popular, there were so many choices in that store that were available. It became very difficult at times to choose. And maybe in our situation, we were living with various people who all had different kind of things that they enjoyed and liked. So to try to please everybody with one particular video that everybody could agree on, you've probably gone through this with Netflix or Amazon Prime or a number of these other things. What shall we watch or what shall we do? Where are we going to go to eat? You know, blah, blah, blah. It just goes on. So, you know, whether we realize it or not, we're making choices all the time. And honestly, sometimes, unfortunately, some of those choices probably were not the very best. Remember the old saying, hindsight is 20/20? Well, we're not going to really focus in on the things you choose to do or not to do, what kind of foods you like, what kind of TV shows you like to watch or don't watch, or maybe you don't like TV. Maybe you've chosen not to even watch TV. I know people who made the choice to not have a smartphone, and they got very adamant about their reasons why and everything. But the Bible is the history of choices, which were made by individuals or groups of people in light of either their relationship with God or their lack of it. And as a direct result of those choices, biblical history and secular history documents the rise and falls of many kingdoms and many dynasties. And I would say, because I'm going to step out here a little bit, I've entitled this teaching, Three Choices That Change History Forever. And I suppose somewhere near the top of the list, but definitely one of the most devastating choices that was ever made was in the Garden of Eden. And that record is recorded in Genesis chapter 3. And unfortunately, through deception, the first humans ever to be created, they succumbed to making a choice that has had cataclysmic results, let's say, and has affected all of mankind since that one choice was made. So we're going to read a few scripture verses here in Genesis chapter 3. And we'll pick it up in the beginning where it says, now the serpent, I'm in the English Standard Version, what I'm reading, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God has said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God does know, he knows, that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. A lot of things you could share during this, but, you know, honestly, the devil, serpent, adversary, whatever you want to call him, was challenging the goodness of God, and that God was specifically withholding something from them that would be good for them. So verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he, God, said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. This is not an uncommon phrase even today. It carries on. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Now, verse 14, I find this interesting. We read this a few times today, because these next words were spoken directly to the serpent. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You know, miraculously, in spite of this great calamity where man lost his spiritual connection to God, man lost spirit as a result of his choice. God so lovingly had a solution. And so God made the second greatest choice, and maybe this should be one. I don't know. I'm not going to put these in order of priority, but God made a choice at that point in time that also changed history forever, in that he chose to provide an answer. It's amazingly humbling to me to see God's willingness to provide a remedy for this unbelievable event and then set in motion all the events that are recorded in the Old Testament that foreshadowed the coming of the promised seed, who was Jesus Christ, fulfilling the promise given in Genesis 3:15. Interestingly enough, it took approximately 4,000 years before one chose to believe the message from God communicated by an angel. Now, I know we're covering a lot of history here in a very short timeline, but I wanted to show you these three choices that changed history forever. First of all, Adam's choice, then secondly, God's choice to provide the promised seed, and perhaps the third greatest choice, or one of the greatest choices, was made by a lady named Mary. It's a choice that changed history. It changed life forever. And we'll pick up that record in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Reading from the New King James Version now. You may be familiar with this record. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Verse 29, understandably, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Now, verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, of his kingdom there will be no end." Talk about a miraculous occurrence. I would say Mary at this point in time in her life was a young woman, quite possibly below the age of 16 and very likely below the age of 16. That was not an uncommon cultural thing for a woman to be betrothed or also and to get married at a very young age. But here she is, and obviously this prompts a question, verse 34, where Mary said to the angel, how exactly is this going to happen? She said, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" Obviously, from many of you who have read this record, know much about it, that those words, I do not know a man, it wasn't that she didn't know a man. It was that she had not had sexual relations with a man to the point of conception. And so you can imagine, 14-year-old girl, let's say, getting visited by an angel who said, "You're going to receive, you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and this is not the normal way the birth process happens." And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, is also conceived in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Now this is the crux of the choice, where the decision had to be made. And Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Would you say at that point in time she made a choice? She could have said, "I'm out of here. No, I don't think so." But whatever the variables were that led up to this message being delivered to this young woman, at this point in time in history, some 4,000 years later, you see the fulfillment of that prophecy given in Genesis 3:15, which we understand is to be the promise seed, the promise seed. And so, you know, what we've taken a moment here basically to look at are three choices that change history. Adam's choice and God's choice and Mary's choice. Those three choices have impacted humanity and mankind and life here on this earth unlike anything else. And so, you say, "Barney, what's the practical point?" Well, the practical point is, and although I understand we aren't making choices of that magnitude, but our day-to-day choices do have and can have a wonderful, beautiful effect on the quality of all the life that we have and that we live, and that we can be a positive influence on those around us by the words we speak, by the example that we set. We are making choices that impact ourselves, others, and certainly impacting the dynamic of our relationship with God Almighty. So that was what was on my heart to share tonight. Three choices that changed mankind, changed history, forever. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this dynamic, great, beautiful word. Father, thank you that you're all good all the time, and all the time you're good, and that we can enjoy and embrace and make good choices ourselves, Father. And if a lot of times we don't know what the right choice is, but we got the standard and structure of your word, and then we have you. And we don't ever want to take that for granted. So we just offer you praise and thanksgiving tonight. We offer you worship and praise, Father, in whatever ways that we can. And we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.